Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with David Tagliano. We thank you, as always, for listening to American Family Radio. Ed, why don't you tell folks the plethora of ways they can listen to AFR?
Well, thank you, and thanks for working the word plethora into our conversation.
Saturday, I said to myself, Monday morning, some way or another, I'm saying plethora on the air, and I just had the opportunity.
Well, folks, of course, you can listen, and probably most of you are listening to a terrestrial radio station. That means you get a signal from a nearby station. You're listening in your car or at home.
Right.
But you can do two other things. You can go to AFR.net, and we live stream programming. You can download podcasts from, we do archive our shows, so you can listen on your computer. You can do that on your iPad, or you can download the AFR app, which you can go to your app store, and it probably takes 60 seconds if you have good speed, and you can download the app, and you can listen anywhere in the world if you've got a smartphone or or some other sort of device like an iPad, even an iPod, something like that, and you can listen to us anywhere around the world as long as you have have a good strong signal. You can listen to American Family Radio.
Mm-hmm.
Or we can come to your home and do the program live. I mean, that is an option. That is more expensive on your part.
Well,
but
better have some lasagna.
With real meatballs, right?
What we ought to do here is sometime have a cook-off.
A cook-off?
I don't know how we do this.
The sound of it, but explore.
I know where
it.
We have a – I don't know how we do this, though. Maybe we have
– Our listeners, you mean?
We have the best studio recipes. But we have to be able to go and judge the food.
Well, Tim, here's the problem I have with that. Everybody is a winner, Tim. And the moment you start saying
when it comes to food,
ribbon,
they're not. Food separates.
That is a good point.
Huh?
You can say all of Little League kids get a trophy,
right?
But no one does that when it comes to Sunday dinner.
Right. Or they have barbecue cook-offs. They don't go, yeah. You know, everybody gets a participation trophy. No, they go, that's the best barbecue right there in this whole place.
Or on the other hand, that is the worst food I've ever eaten.
Yes.
So you're not going to say everybody deserves to be applauded when it comes to eating. You don't do that at restaurants, right?
No.
You eat food, you say this is tremendous or this is awful.
You know, I was thinking
you make judgments, Tim.
You make judgments. That we were talking about the PC going amok.
Right.
Political correctness going amok. And how President Obama is wanting to force this transgendered stuff on America. President Obama and his administration, they've only got a few months left, so they decided, hey, we're going to take up the cause of sexually confused people. And that's what...
Who's with me?
Who's with me? That's a hill we're going to die on right there, forcing transgendered on everybody to accept them, and accommodate them.
Right.
Or either you're going to get punished by the federal government. That's the issue for President Obama in the day of ISIS.
Yeah.
That's what he's chosen to do. And
yeah, forget about the flooding in
Louisiana.
Southern Louisiana.
No, we want to make, homeless shelters. If a man wants to say he's a woman and sleep with the women, he ought to be able to. That's
right.
That's where I stand, and I approve this message, and I'm President Barack Obama. That's what he's standing for right now. We're laughing, but that's true.
Insanity.
That's true. That's
it's
where
insanity.
He is on this. So we got this going on and in our country. But I'm saying he's on his last few months, so he's going to push anything and everything he can.
Yeah, try and stop me.
Well, he's going to empty out Gitmo.
Right.
He's going to put all the terrorists.
Put them all back on the battlefield.
Put them all back on the battlefield. Because
you know what? That's actually brilliant because it's going to cause the radical Muslims to love America once again. When they see how good-hearted we are, they're going to love America and they're going to stop their war against the West.
Right.
Don't you think that's going to happen?
No, but Ed, I don't. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm naive.
Well, you're judgmental.
I know.
I know.
I think you're going to see things like that you know, because President Obama doesn't feel encumbered in any way. He thinks Hillary Clinton is going to beat Trump anyway. Doesn't matter what he does. And so he's going to do these kind of far left things that what he can do. Remember he said, I got a pen and a phone?
Yeah.
Before he started his second administration. So, and so we will see what happens. Fortunately, at least one federal judge has blocked his edict to the schools to accommodate transgender folks. By accommodating transgender, I mean, you know, maybe in some vacuum somewhere that sounds like it's an American value. In practicality, what you're talking about is President Obama and his administration has said to the public schools of America, you must allow a man who thinks he's a woman, a boy who thinks he's a girl, to go into the dressing rooms and showers with your daughters. Am I right, Ed?
Right. Or play on sports teams. You know, if a boy thinks he's a girl, he should be able to play on the girls' softball team, all that kind of
stuff.
Here
I stand, President Obama, on this one. You know, if we had that applied to the Olympic Games, you imagine what chaos you would have if they said no more gender?
I'd rather not imagine.
No, but seriously, think about it. If you applied President Obama's world to the Olympics, you would have no genders.
I don't think that that's far-fetched. I think that's what they want. They're doing it one step at a time.
Yeah.
Because gender is just constructed socially, so, you know, there's no...
So you don't have men and women's men and women's sports in Olympics are all separated.
That's right. And so women, if you women athletes, you women runners, you want to run against Usain Bolt, even the men don't want to run against them. So you want the women to run against them, fine, just keep going.
Same social engineering going on. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Our guest now is Dinesh D'Souza. His newest book is a bestseller. I'm really surprised. I don't know. Hillary's America, The Secret History of the Democratic Party is the title of it. It's published by Regnery. And he joins us here on American Family Radio. Dinesh, good morning to you.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good afternoon. Where are you? You in Eastern or Central or where are you?
I'm in Houston, Texas. And, hey, by the way, if I can offer a thought in your previous segment.
Yes.
I don't know if you know, but there was, in fact, a transgender runner, a man running in the women's 800 meters. And I believe that he or she, I don't quite know what to say, won the gold medal.
That really, really? I didn't hear anything about that.
I didn't either.
Really?
You're talking about
look it up. The Olympic Committee had to review the decision, and they apparently decided that they were too scared of the transgender issue to sort of call it. So they let him run or let her run, and she won the gold medal. So this is your what you thought might happen is already happening.
Well, hey, this segues nicely into the secular progressive ideology and movement in this country. Hillary's America is your latest book. I want to ask you, with respect to the whole secular, liberal, or progressive movement that Hillary Clinton's and the Democratic Party has embraced, Dinesh, do you think for her, maybe getting ahead of ourselves a little bit here, but do you think for her it's more of a follow, or do you think she's a leader in this? It seems to me a lot of hers have been, she was for traditional marriage before, and then when same-sex marriage and the homosexual movement became popular, she switched sides for seeming convenience, political convenience. So I'm not so sure on some of these, is she ideologically driven or is she pragmatically driven? Or
so,
both?
Yes, Tim, I think that she is driven neither by ideology per se nor by pragmatism. In other words, her main priority is the accumulation of wealth and power. There's a gangsterism that defines the Clintons that distinguishes them from Obama. So the bottom line of it is, privately, I don't think Hillary cares that much about gay marriage one way or the other. So she will opportunistically get behind it if it will help her. The Clintons, if you look back to the Arkansas days when Clintons were in the White House, I mean, these are guys who were who were selling pardons to big-time felons, racketeers, and tax cheats. They were taking pictures off the wall and taking curios out of the cabinet. They were renting out the Lincoln bedroom for cash. So these are people for whom ideology takes a back seat to feathering their own nest.
That's interesting. So that's interesting. So would that be different than, say, President Obama? He would be ideologically driven. And you're saying that the Clintons would be more driven by personal power and accumulation of, well, in their case, now wealth. How much are they worth?
Think about it this way. The Clintons have gone from zero to $300 million in a few years on a government salary. Now, is there even a plausible way to imagine how that happened? It's not coming from books and speeches.
I want to know who her stockbroker is.
Well, Dinesh, I got to say, it's happened to me. I've become a multimillionaire. I think that's why her negatives are so high. You know, obviously Donald Trump has his own problem with negatives for different reasons, but she's untrustworthy, and that's one of them. When you leave your job, you know, in the White House in the year 2000, President Clinton did, and Hillary says we left broke, and now you're worth $300 million. That didn't come because you were Secretary of State. Well, you didn't come because you were on the salary of the Secretary of State. It might have come through your foundation and your speaking fees, but
No. What happened is that Hillary was renting out American foreign policy. And you see this time and time again. They even had a kind of system in which Bill would go somewhere and give a ridiculously overpaid speech, a 15-minute speech in which he'd get $750,000, for example. That's a down payment. Then Hillary would modify American foreign policy in line with what the donor wanted, and then tens of millions of dollars would flow into the Clinton Foundation. We see this happening again and again and again and again. And so this is how the Clintons accumulated that kind of money.
Yeah, because that's to go for, to not, you know, it's not unprecedented for people to go from broke to $300 million in America. But if they do so, it's because they invented something.
Invented a better mousetrap, can do it.
Yeah, something like that. But not just from public service or from speeches or things of that nature. And you're talking about their combined wealth, right? Now, obviously, $300 million. You said it's $300 million.
It's $300 million for the Clintons and $2 billion for the Clinton Foundation.
Now, is it true that the Clinton Foundation only does like 10% charity? In other words,
they give away less than 10% of what they take in annually, which really shows that they're not a philanthropic foundation at all. They're a front. And again, this is another fertile topic for investigation. But the problem with the Clintons is that they're so in with the authorities. They're so in with the FBI. They're so in with the Department of Justice. And they're so in with Obama that, in a sense, they're effectively above the law. They do whatever they want, and they stay one step ahead of the posse.
What's the title of the book and where to get it, Dinesh?
Tim, the book is Hillary's America. The subtitle is The Secret History of the Democratic Party. It's available everywhere. These days, it's even available in Costco.
That's a good one.
And you have a film, a documentary based on the book, right?
Yes, it was. It's been in the theaters. It's still in some theaters. We're going to re-release it in September. It comes out in DVD in October. And the film, as the book, they're partly about Hillary, but they're also partly about the whole sordid history of progressivism and the Democratic Party. It's a whole new story of American politics.
Let me just say this about you. You mentioned that the Clinton Foundation only uses 10% of the money they bring in for the charitable purposes in which they've been, which they say that they do. First of all, I don't even know if I know a lot of Christian nonprofits, and you don't even have to be a Christian nonprofit, but even a secular nonprofit. And if you only demonstrate 10% of the money given to you goes towards the work that you exist to promote, you're not going to stay around very long, because people are not going to give money to an organization that's that top heavy. They're just not. In fact, we here at American Family Association, you know, we have to do an audit every year. And, you know, if you get below, say, 60%, if 60% of your money that you bring in is not going to do the work that you raise money for, you got a problem. You got an institutional or an organizational or a business model problem. And you're telling me with this Clinton Foundation, what were they raising money for? Where did the money go then if only 10% goes to do the work?
So what they do is they have these jet-setting conferences around the world. The Clintons cover a lot of their own expenses for jets, for expensive hotels. They put all that on the foundation. So the foundation, like I say, is a front. Look, the people giving money aren't giving to charity. They're buying favors from the Clintons. So they don't care if the Clintons pocket the money. They expect the Clintons to pocket the money. And so the whole foundation is a racket. It's an extension.
Yeah, but that's corrupt. That is corruption. Isn't that illegal?
Well, the good thing is the news media will get right on this. Isn't that right, Dinesh?
They've just been beating on the doors of the Clintons right. to get all the information. Look, there are Haitians who protest outside the Clinton Foundation because they believe that the Clintons have intercepted millions and millions of dollars intended for earthquake relief that has ended up in the pockets of the Clintons. This would be a big story, right? Four black Haitians standing outside the Clinton Foundation yelling out, "Tell me, Bill and Hillary, where's the Haiti earthquake money?" No coverage from the media.
You know what, though? So much to talk about here. With Bernie Sanders, the self-described socialist Democrat candidate from, you know, he lost to Hillary Clinton in the primary. But this was his whole thing. What you've just described as Clinton, the Clintons, is what he ran against. And that why it was kind of surprising to me. I don't know if shocking would be a word, that he would so enthusiastically, seemingly endorse Hillary Clinton, Bernie Sanders, when she is the epitome of everything his campaign was built around opposing.
It's very bizarre, but I think at the end of the day, look, Bernie has never really, you know, before he got elected in Vermont, I don't believe he had a productive job his whole life. He apparently slept on his neighbor's couch for years. So maybe Hillary offered him a nice couch. And what I mean by that symbolically is that I just read in online that Bernie just purchased a $600,000 pad, which sets him up, I guess, for a comfortable retirement. At the end of the day, I think this is a guy who betrayed his own supporters and got bought off by the Clintons.
And his supporters realized it, didn't they, at the convention? That's why they were so upset.
It a moment too late.
Yeah. You're listening to the radio program tonight, Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. By the way, I should add, as the disclaimer does, the views and opinions expressed here on this program do not necessarily represent those of AFA, AFR, but are those of the host and the guests, whatever they may express. Go ahead, Ed.
Dinesh D'Souza is our guest, and he's the author of the book, Hillary's America, The Secret History of the Democratic Party. Some of you may have seen the film, the documentary based on this already at the theaters. Dinesh says it'll be re-released in September, and then the DVD will be available in October. Dinesh, we're coming down to the end of our segment. Let me ask you, the secret history of the Democratic Party, that's very provocative. What is the essential argument you're making in this book about the Democratic Party and what many people may not know about it?
In a nutshell, what I say is that the Democratic Party is engaging in a certain kind of false propaganda. They're saying, and they're leading people to believe, with the help of the media, that we, the Democrats, are the good guys. We have always been on the right side of history. We've been fighting for women and immigrants and minorities and blacks. Now, I show in this book and movie that the truth is the exact opposite. The Democratic Party has been the deadly enemy of women and immigrants and blacks. The Democratic Party tried to block women's suffrage for 30 years. They tried to use a gender amendment to kill the Civil Rights Act of 1964. This is the party of slavery and segregation and Jim Crow and the Ku Klux Klan. more Republicans proportionately voted for the civil rights laws of the 60s than Democrats did. The Democrats tried to block immigration throughout the 20th century. So this is a party that has faked its own history. It's taken all its own crimes and blamed them on the South, blamed them on America, blamed them on the Republicans. So I put the actual record of the Democratic Party out there for people to see. This is a party that has never acknowledged its own history.
And you're talking about Democrats in terms of presidents, not only the founder, Andrew Jackson, but you're talking about presidents like the progressive president, Woodrow Wilson. You're talking about Franklin Delano Roosevelt. You're talking about John F. Kennedy, that many of these had racist views towards black people. So let me ask you this. Do you think Donald Trump is wise to reach out to the black community here, beginning with a speech in North Carolina and continuing this week? He's reaching out to the black community.
Absolutely. I think that is the best move he's made in the whole campaign so far. And the reason it's so smart is basically what he's doing is he's pointing his finger at the great vulnerability of the Democrats, which is while claiming today to be the party of poor blacks. Look at their record. I mean, they've created what I call these urban plantations in Oakland, in Detroit, in St. Louis. And these plantations have many of the same features of the old slave plantations that Democrats used to run 100 years ago. So Trump, I think, is onto something really big, but he needs to ground his argument in history. There's just a lot more to say about all this, and our movie can actually help him.
Talking to Dinesh D'Souza, Hillary's America is the title of the book and the movie that he's responsible for. You know, I just hope somewhere along my life I can be reached out to. I just wish somebody would say their campaign is reaching out to white Christian males, and they're reaching out to them, trying to get them.
That's three strikes against you, Tim. It's gonna don't hold your breath for this.
White Christian male. That's three strikes against me.
Three strikes.
I think if you put Southerner in there, it'd be four. I don't know.
I think you're probably
right. I think
right.
You need four to strike out, but I think you're out of there.
You gun owner.
You
that's
no
number
hope.
Five.
Huh? You're
gun
the
owner?
Worst. And anyway, I just want to be reached out to at some point. I want to be a part of a group.
Yesterday on social media, someone referred to me as a brown-skinned white supremacist. A brown-skinned white supremacist. So,
wow.
I think I'm breaking new ground.
Oh, my word.
The arena of political category.
Well, hey, then I'm glad, Tim, that you put that disclaimer
right
on there about the views expressed. We
right
don't necessarily agree with the views expressed by this brown-skinned
right
white supremacist,
right,
Dinesh D'Souza. So,
all right, Dinesh, thank you for your time. Again, how's the movie doing, by the way?
The movie is the top documentary of the year. It's the number 8 most successful political documentary of all time. I think we've surpassed good old Michael Moore, who's been the king of this genre, and the book has been, as of last week, number 1 on the New York Times bestseller list, so it's all doing good.
You expect to go to jail this time around?
I certainly hope not. If the narrator and producer of Hillary's America disappears tomorrow, guys, I can only think of one suspect.
I got you. Well, listen, Dinesh, thanks for being on with us. Appreciate it very much.
My pleasure.
Dinesh D'Souza.
Hillary's America, The Secret History of the Democratic Party.
Really,
it's going to shock people, a lot of the racist views of some of the icons of the Democratic Party.
Okay, folks, thanks for joining us on the program today, and we'll see you tomorrow. Have a good rest of your Monday.